Hey, what's up, guys? This is the Debunk Podcast, where we talk about quite literally everything about anything. And I am joined here with Kailash. And this is going to be our second part to our two-part mini-series about the 2020 election and our predictions. This is going to be about the presidential race.
So, without further ado, let's begin.
What we're going to talk about this race is, number one, we're going to talk about the race in terms of the polls, like what the polls say the race should be, and then we'll give our own predictions about the race. Sounds good? Kailash?
Yep.
All right. So first, let's talk about what the polls say the race is going to be like. If the presidential race is exactly what the polls say, let's see what that race is like. So on 270 to win, I'm on right now. It's we currently have the states of Ohio, Iowa, Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, and the second district of Maine as swing. So those are our current swing states. And in terms of states that are going to Trump, we have 88 safe electoral votes, 37 likely, 38 lean, for a total of 163. And we have 183 safe for Biden, 39 likely for Biden, and 68 lean for Biden, to give him a total of 290. And if we're filling it out based on what the polls say, like based on what the polls say right now, Iowa will go to Trump, Florida will go to Biden, Georgia would go to Biden, so would North Carolina, so would the second district of Maine. That gives the race as, let me just fill this in here, 351 for Joe Biden. Actually, oh, sorry. Oh, I forgot to say Ohio. Ohio under this also goes Biden, strictly going by the polls. So that gives 351 electoral votes to Joe Biden, 187 Donald Trump. That gives Joe Biden a pretty substantial win. And Kailash, you have anything to say about what like the polls say, like if the election goes exactly how the polls say they will?
I mean, most of these have like one of the candidates, like the very like lean states have, you know, 1 or 2 point leads, and that's probably not how it'll go on election day. But for now, we're just going to use the polls just to kind of illustrate where the race is at.
Yeah, I think also something interesting too, like even if like the swing states right now, according to 270 to win, are Iowa, Ohio, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida. And even if Biden doesn't win any of those, he still wins the election by 20 electoral votes, which to me is pretty crazy, like considering like what happened 4 years ago.
Yep.
The states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Arizona, all in this case, have swung to Joe Biden, not even as a swing state, but as a lean Democrat state. So yeah, that's really interesting.
I mean, Arizona is especially so interesting because like 2016, I mean, think about it. All the like the important statewide officials, like the senators and the governors and stuff, were all Republican. And now it's possible that by like 2022, all of them could be
Democrat. It'll be a complete switch.
Yeah.
Yep.
In just 6 years, demographic changes.
Unheard of, mostly. All right, but those are obviously the polls, but now let's give our predictions. So what we actually have over here, we're on 270 to win, and we currently cleared out all the states, and we're going to go by each category of state, whether we're going to first start off with safe states, likely states, lean states, and toss-up states. So our category, safe basically means that the state will go 15 points in one direction or another, 15 or more points. Likely, if the state goes between 10 and 15 points, lean if it's between 5 and 10, and toss up if it's plus or minus 5 for either candidate. You agree with those, Kailash? About what I said there?
Yeah.
Alright, so let's start off with safe states for the Democrats. We've got the states of Washington. Let me just fill it up. Oregon.
California.
What else?
New Mexico.
New Mexico,
Hawaii,
New Jersey. Oh yeah, Hawaii, New Jersey, New York, Washington D.C., Maryland, the District of Columbia, Washington D.C., Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts.
Vermont.
Yep, Vermont.
And Delaware.
And, yep, and Delaware. Yep. And Delaware.
Could Illinois count there as well?
No, I'll get into that in a minute. I'll get into Illinois in a minute. But yeah, that currently gives Joe Biden 163 electoral votes that are safe. Now, by the way, just to make something clear, if I categorize a state as likely versus safe, that again doesn't mean that I think that a state has a chance to flip to the other side. It just means that that state isn't up by quite as much for one side versus like a safe state. Just to throw that out there. So yeah, anyways, that's 163 for Biden, which just to give a quick analysis here, that's pretty good for like that 163 electoral votes are basically guaranteed. I personally think it's actually a little more than that. I'll get into that in a minute. But according to the, like, polling, at least 163 electoral votes are guaranteed for Democrats, which I actually think is, you know, I guess pretty good every election cycle.
I mean, we should,
like, at that point,
we shouldn't forget about Maine's first district, which is very strong.
Oh, yeah, Maine's first district. Yep, Maine's first district. That is also a safe Democrat.
That still gives 164. A very large margin, 168.
Well, yeah, 168, which, again, is very, very interesting. Because that's a pretty big, like, they only need, like, every election cycle, about 110, less than 110 electoral votes to go. And remember, these are just safe states. I'm not even going to the likely states, which are going to go to the Democrats. Same with Republican likely states that are going to Republicans. So, with that being said, let's move on to safe states for the Republicans. We got the states of Idaho, Wyoming, North Dakota, Nebraska. All right, and in terms of safe, we also have Nebraska as a whole, and also Nebraska's first and third districts safe. We also have Oklahoma as safe, Louisiana as safe, Mississippi as safe, Alabama as safe, Kentucky as safe. Same thing with Tennessee. West Virginia as safe. And Arkansas as safe. I believe that is it in terms of safe Republican states. So a quick analysis of that. That's 75 electoral votes for President Donald Trump. And what's really interesting is the states that are not considered safe. States that, such as Montana, Utah, Missouri, Kansas, South Dakota, that South Carolina, that really should be considered safe, even Indiana too, but just frankly are not safe. Like, to be clear, I think those states will also go to the president, but technically, according to my criteria and criteria of most other people of what's a safe state, they're not safe states, which is very, very interesting. Like, That's not good news for the Democrats. What do you think about that, Kalash?
Yeah, it's just not very good news in general. It's not much else to say about that.
For the Republicans, at least. Yeah. So now let's move on to the likely states for the Democrats. And we've got the states of Illinois, the states of Colorado, and Virginia. Now, also New Hampshire. So there's some interesting ones. Let's talk about Illinois for a second. Now, Illinois is more of a technicality likely state, because looking at 538, it's 14.1 points in favor for Joe Biden. This state will definitely go for Joe Biden. No one's worried about it. And it was well over 15 points a little bit ago, but I think there's like one poll that only had Biden up by plus 13 that kind of threw a wrench in things. But so on a technicality, it's a likely state, not a safe state. But yeah, the state's going to be safe. Let's talk about two states that I really do think embody the demographic shifts in this country: Virginia, Colorado, and Colorado. Virginia was considered a swing state in 2016, and it was not too long ago when Colorado was a red state. Like, Virginia was won by Clinton in 2016, that was considered swing, and now it's likely Democratic. Like, they're winning again by double-digit margins.
Yeah, I mean,
in Virginia.
Obama won it in, like, 08, and I believe. And that's, after that, it's just been Democrat.
Yep. I mean, in Virginia, he's up by 11.3 points, Biden is, which is ridiculous considering how close it was in 2016. and the state of Colorado, another state that... What was the election that it voted red in?
I'm not sure, actually.
Let me look that up real quick. But regardless, that it's still, like, it wasn't too long ago when it was a red state. I believe the election was... gotta look this up real quick. Alright. I can't exactly find it, when it was. Was it 2004? Yep, it was 2004. So this state was a red state in 2004, and this state also in 2014 elected a red senator.
Cory Gardner, who we discussed in our last episode.
Yeah, go check that out if you haven't checked that one out already. But yeah, this state, I mean, again, we talked about shifting demographics in our last episode. I mean, it's just an example that the browning of the country, like, obviously favors Democrats. And just overall, like, the youth vote, too. That youth vote also is showing up in Colorado. This is a state that has definitely favored for the Democrats in terms of shifting demographics. And this is a likely state that I would not be surprised if becomes safe state, like, within the next 4 years, too. And finally, we have to talk about New Hampshire. New Hampshire was a state that Clinton won, but by a very small margin. I think this is actually the closest state in the 2016 election. But Joe Biden is up 11 points in this state now. 11 points. Which is absurd. Like, and he's been up for, like, the entire campaign cycle, too. Like, even on, like, February 27th, like, before Corona hit, he was still up by 1.5 points. I mean, this has just seen a massive swing in Joe Biden's favor. I mean, Kyle, do you have anything to say about that swing? I mean, that's just ridiculous.
I mean, no one's doubting that New Hampshire will go through, but it's more of like Illinois. It's more of just like a technicality.
Yeah, I would actually say it's less of a technicality thing because this state was very, very close in 2016.
I mean, it does have a Republican governor, but...
Illinois was a technicality because it's only up by 14.1, and also because it also votes a Democrat every time. This is less of a technicality, more of just like just how ridiculous things have swung in the Democrats' favor. But yeah, that's crazy. So with this in mind, Joe Biden has 210 electoral votes now. And now let's get into the likely states for Donald Trump. Those will be the states of Montana, Utah, South Dakota, Kansas, Missouri, Indiana, and South Carolina. Those states put Donald Trump at 123 electoral votes. And one thing I gotta say about this is, like, all these states, with the slight exception of maybe Indiana, should really be safe states for Trump. Now, Trump is going to win these states, but it is not good news for Republicans, considering that in these traditionally safe states that Joe Biden is not necessarily competitive, but he's doing better than I think anyone really expects him to do. You have anything to say about that, Kailash?
Yeah, I mean, Montana is a strange one, especially because the Senate election talked about last episode, that's very close, but it's still a very Trumpy state. At that, it's not as Trump is not as doing as strong as he's, you know, supposed to be doing in such a state, but, you know, he's still ahead by a fair margin.
Yeah. Again, in all these states, Trump is ahead by a fair margin. He's going to win these states. Again, it's more of like a percentage thing rather than do the Democrats actually have a chance? They don't have a chance in these states. It's just very interesting to see, like. And there's also another, like, interesting Senate race in, like, South Carolina, too, with Lindsey Graham, Jamie Harrison, that we talked about in our last episode. I mean, yeah, overall, this isn't really great news for the Republicans, considering these states really should be safe for them. All right, so you want to move on to lean states for the Democrats?
Yeah, sure.
Yep. But these would be the states of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania. Let me check if actually Maine main second district, how are they doing?
I believe it's lean blue.
Yep, yeah, Maine is lean blue. The state as a whole is...
And Nebraska's second district is also lean blue.
Yeah, Nebraska's second district also lean blue, too. So, getting into this, it's, So these are, like, state slash vote slash electoral votes that Trump all won. Trump won the second district of Nebraska. He won Wisconsin. He won Michigan. And he won Pennsylvania. Like, and the fact that these states are all considered lean, which, keep in mind, means that Biden is up by 5 to 10 points. Going from a Donald Trump victory to the state becoming lean from the other side, again, is a pretty big shift that should not be favorable for the Democrats in the slightest.
Yeah, and this is really...
And also, wait, I apologize for this. Nevada is also a lean state, too.
Yeah.
They're up by 5.1 in Nevada.
And I mean...
A state that won to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. And I mean, right now, on my map, the Democrats have 280 electoral votes, which is more than enough to win the election. That just speaks to the fact that we haven't even covered all of the states yet, and the Democrats already have a victory. And that just shows, like, the massive swing away from Donald Trump and his just general unpopularity.
Yep. I mean, it's pretty crazy, actually, when you think about it. And now, for Republicans, there are actually zero lean states. There are zero states in which Trump leads within 5 to 10 points, which is very, very troubling for them, considering that A, number one, according to like the map so far, Joe Biden wins the election, and B, there are some states that really should be lean at minimum for the Republicans. So speaking of that, now let's get into the most interesting section of this prediction, the swing states. We've got the states of Arizona, Texas, Iowa, Ohio, North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. So let's go through from these states one by one. Let's start with Arizona. You want to introduce Arizona, Kailash?
Yeah, Arizona is a pretty good indicator of demographic change. You know, the Phoenix suburbs are just, you know, immigrants from both within other states and from like other countries are rapidly moving into this area, and that's helped change what was traditionally a very Republican state, you know, one that Donald Trump even won last election, not by a very massive margin, but like still a good margin, that he won, into something that seems to be leaning towards the Democrats now, both in the Senate and in the presidential race.
Yeah, I mean, this is a state where Donald Trump won 2016, but as we discussed in our Senate elections, we think it's going to go towards the Democrats in the Senate. And looking at 538, Biden has a 3.1 percentage lead in Arizona. Again, speaking to demographic shifts, many people thought the state was a possibility to go Democratic in 2016. Obviously, that did not turn out to be true. But in 2020, I personally think, and this is my prediction now, that Arizona will turn blue. It will be by a small margin, but it'll turn blue. Kailash, what about you?
Yeah, I predict the same. It will definitely turn blue.
Yep. So now moving on to the state of Texas, which, man, the fact that Texas is a swing state should swing alarm bells to the Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I just quickly want to mention this. Without Texas, there is literally zero path for the Republicans to win any presidential election ever again.
Yeah, I mean, assuming like the very unpopular candidate of Hillary Clinton, if all Democrats carry all of her states plus Texas, they get to 270 exactly. So they win. Which, again, this is a state that Republicans need. Listen, if election day comes, Democrats get Texas, we're gonna be talking more about a blowout victory than versus whether Trump or Biden's gonna win, let's be honest here. But yeah, Texas is a state where this is crazy. Again, demographic shifts, number one. Again, Browning of Texas, Browning of America in general. And also number two, if we're looking at voter turnout in Texas, this is crazy. I think I saw yesterday that so far, based on just early voting alone, 107% of the votes that have been cast in 2016 are already cast in Texas before Election Day.
Yep. And that just speaks to the enthusiasm of this election in general, you know, whether that's like voting for Trump or like
whether it's an anti-Trump vote or a pro-Biden vote, regardless. Yeah. There's like a lot happening in Texas. And also, if we're looking at the counties too, they're like, and before I mention anything about the counties, I personally predict that Texas is going to have 130% of their 2016 turnout. And also, I have to mention this too, the more, historically speaking, the more people that turn out to the polls, the better that is for the Democrats. That's just a historical trend that's happened. And also, if we're looking at the the counties, like counties with at least over 100,000 people, the biggest like counties that like the biggest increase by percentage of like voters, I think I saw somewhere like 8 out of those 10 counties voted for Biden in 2000, not Biden, sorry, voted for Hillary in 2016. So those are Democratic counties, very large Democratic counties that are seeing skyrocketing levels of new voter turnout. And obviously more voters that turn out, better for Democrats historically.
Yep.
So you want to go to predictions now?
Yeah,
sure. You want to start off?
Personally, like this one is genuinely very hard to predict because it's been bouncing back and forth between Biden and Trump. But in the end, I'm going to have to say that Trump is probably going to win the state, not only because, you know, it still has a lot of Republicans, but also because of the voter suppression that the Republicans have engaged in, like, you know, voter ID laws and limiting ballot drop-off boxes and things like that.
Yeah, and also, speaking about voter suppression here for a little bit, there was a video that surfaced, I think, yesterday, of, like, Trump voters literally trying to take Biden, like, a Biden bus off of the road. And also, you also have, like, instances of, like, Trump voters, we know, with guns and stuff, like, literally coming to the polls to intimidate voters, too. So, not just, like, state-mandated voter suppression, but it's also, you know, civilian voter suppression, too. It's happening. It's really disgusting stuff. Like, regardless of what side you are on, like, voter suppression is a bad thing. But, yeah. As for my prediction, I gotta go... It's a 50-50 prediction for me. I wouldn't be shocked either way. It's a coin flip, but I'm going to go Texas. Again, I'm going to go Texas by the slimmest of margins for Donald J. Trump because, I guess, of the voter suppression. Also, I don't think they're ready just quite yet. Looking at polling, Trump's ahead by about a point and a half. So, yeah, I'm going to go Texas here. Would not Texas for Donald Trump. Would not be surprised for one for Joe Biden, but I'm going to go for Donald Trump.
Yep, and with that, right, let's move on to Iowa. Rushi, you wanna start with this?
So Iowa is a state that went to Trump in 2016. Excuse me there. It went to Trump in 2016. It went to Obama in 2008 and 2012, I believe. So this is another swing state. Looking at the polling here, Trump is up by 1.7 points. The latest poll of A-minus poll rated by Emerson College, he has Trump up by 1 point, and an A-plus poll by Seltzer & Co. has Trump up by 7 points. This is a state where also Senate election taking place, that you can see our prediction for that election in our Senate episode. But yeah, this is a state that I think a year ago people would have predicted goes to Trump pretty handily, but over the last year with the Trump backlash that has appeared,
yeah,
it's a really close state. That being said, I'm going to give this to one, like Texas, I'm going to give this one to Trump by the slice of margins. And the only reason I'm saying that is because he's up in the polls by a little bit. Biden wins the state, not shocking at all. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the same thing, mainly because of Ann Seltzer. I know I'm putting all my faith in one poll, but like she's just that good at polling. She's very well respected. And if she says Trump is probably not up by 7 points, but it's very likely that he is still up. So, you know, by the slimmest of margins, I'm going to give this to Trump, but it's not surprising if Biden wins this anyway.
All right, with that, let's move on to the state of Ohio. And Kailash, how about you introduce the state of Ohio?
Yeah, so Ohio, it's like currently they have a Republican governor, Mike DeWine, and like they overall, I guess you could say, like they haven't handled COVID well, and that's kind of correlating with Donald Trump's like popularity rating like in that state as a whole. So yeah, like at first, like this appeared to be, you know, before coronavirus, it appeared to probably go easily for Trump, but like because of the coronavirus, now it's leading, like it's very close. Like Trump and Biden have been swapping leads like almost constantly. That being said, in RCP, or sorry, 538's overall average, they have Trump up by, I believe, 0.7 or point,
like 1.7.
Or no, for me.
No, sorry, not 1.7, 0.7. Yeah, you're right.
Between
about that.
0.3 and 0.7, which is like
0.3 points.
Yeah, that's literally a statistical tie. That being said, I'm probably going to give this again to Trump just because of, again, voter suppression. They've done the same thing as in Texas where they like limited the ballot drop boxes to one per county. So I feel like it's probably going to go for Trump. But if it does go to Biden, that's definitely that's also not very likely. But what do you think, Rishi?
So, yeah, Ohio is a state that was a swing state in 2016, but as of last year, I think everyone saw Ohio was becoming more conservative. Like, I would have actually put Ohio in, like, the likely at this point last year. But, again, 2020 has just been a pretty terrible year polling-wise for the president. And this is definitely a swing state if you've ever seen one again. Whether the state stays a swing state or whether this is just anti-Trump reaction, I'm not too sure. But regardless, this is a swing state for this election. Who do you think is going to win? I think Trump ekes out a victory again, like Texas, like Iowa, a 50-50 coin flip. I'm going to go Trump simply because I don't believe Trump has lost all the conservative momentum that he's gained over the last 3 years over this year. So I'm going to go with Trump. But again, 50-50 state could go either way.
Yep. And now let's move on to North Carolina. You want to talk about that, Rishi?
Yeah, so North Carolina is a state that voted for Trump in 2016 by a pretty slim margin, and right now is in favor for Joe Biden by 2 points exactly. This is a state, again, like the rest of the United States, shifting demographics. Also is a state, again, like most of the states in the country, that has a Trump backlash effect almost. And a state with also a pretty important Senate election. Again, go to our last episode, check out what we say about the Senate election. But yeah, overall, this is a state that was looking like Ohio to go more conservative, maybe not as conservative as Ohio, but looking to go more conservative until this year. And this is a state that, looking at the polling results again, that there's a BC poll from Atlas Intel that has Trump up too, but the rest of the polls have Biden up pretty consistently. And I gotta go with Joe Biden on this one. I think Joe Biden wins this state. What about you?
Yeah, same. Biden's gonna win this state. Like, it's getting very close. Obviously, it's just tightening as the election goes on. That's kind of a normal thing. But I still think Joe Biden's gonna win this one.
And now let's move on to the state of Georgia, which I think, Carlos, would you like to introduce the state of Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia's kind of a unique one because they're having two elections, a special election and a regular one for Senate. And because they are having two Senate elections, that could probably, you know, encourage a lot of Democrats to come out and vote, especially now that Georgia's a swing state. Again, this was like, you would never be talking about Joe Biden winning the state if it wasn't for the coronavirus, you know, and just the general Trump backlash. That being, because of the fact that, you know, someone as influential as Warnock is running in the Senate race, that might get a lot of Democrats to come and turn out for him and, you know, just vote a straight blue ticket. So personally, I predict that, you know, like, for example, like according to 538, right, you know, Georgia's actually like, according to 538's like overall average, Biden is leading by 1.5 points. And that's a very close lead. But in the end, I think this state will go for Georgia or for Biden, because I feel like the power of the Black community in Georgia is kind of being underestimated, not just in polls but overall. Like, historically, Southern Blacks have just felt like very discriminated against by both parties, and they felt like the parties wouldn't do anything for them. But now, like, you know, they're feeling like there could possibly be real change with like the Democrats, and so I still think this probably will go blue. What do you think, Christian?
I'm gonna actually have to disagree with you. I know he's leading the polls in Georgia by like, I think, 1.7%. I gotta check that again real quick. Yeah, it's leading by 1.5%. I'm gonna give this one to Trump, just because again, this is up within 1.5 points within the margin of error, and I think the conservative vote will come out for Trump in Georgia. Why? I'm gonna be honest, I don't know. I just have more of a hunch about this than anything, but yeah, I think this one goes Trump. Again, would not be shocked in the slightest if it goes for Joe Biden, but I'm gonna give this one to Trump.
All right, and with that, we move on to Florida. Rishi, you want to do this?
So Florida, it's been a swing state for the longest time. I swear this state gives so many people so many headaches for not just electoral reasons. But Florida, man. But anyways, I love how like the state that literally has, that is the biggest meme in the country, also decides like the most elections. It's kind of ironic. Anyways, Florida is a state that, like I said, has been a swing state for the longest time. Obviously, the famous 2000 incident where they had to have a recount with Bush and Gore, and Bush ended up winning the state. Trump won the state in 2016 by, I think, about 2 points. But right now, if we're looking at Florida, Joe Biden is up by 2.2 points. And again, this is more shifting demographics. Again, number one, you have young people, more young people able to vote. And obviously, young people, they're better, much better for Democrats and Republicans. You also have the browning of the state, more minorities coming into the state and like being born to the state and being able to vote in general, which is better for Democrats usually. Although the Cuban population is the most, especially the older Cuban population, is very conservative. And finally, you also have a lot of people moving from like California, New York, New Jersey to Florida that for the most part brings their liberal views with them. So this is a state that is also experiencing shifting demographics, but is still solidly a swing state. Predictions. This is a state that I don't think anyone can ever predict ever. I'm going to go Joe Biden simply because he's leading by an okay amount, 2.2 points, and he's also had a pretty consistent lead by 2.2 points. But yeah, this is my prediction for the state. What about you?
I'm also going to go with Joe Biden, but because of different reasons. I feel like, you know, Joe Biden just isn't obviously as off-putting as Hillary Clinton was. And, you know, combined with the fact that, like, nobody can think of Joe Biden as socialist, right? And that's what Trump's been trying to portray him as, even though he's not, right? Joe Biden is not someone that even appears somewhat socialist, so that effect on the older Cuban population, we're a little like more afraid of socialism. It just isn't there as much, just because like
Biden's a moderate by the very definition of the word.
Yeah, and you've also had like Bloomberg spending $100 million there on his behalf, and you know, like helping felons to vote and like making ads for him and stuff like that. I think all of that's gonna have a very sizable impact. Like, Florida is the mother of swing states after all. So. And they count their ballots the earliest, so we could quite possibly know who's won that state, perhaps at the very late hours of Tuesday, early hours of Wednesday.
Yeah, so that's about it. Oh yeah, Maine's third district. By the way, we said it's going to be, second district. We said it's going to be likely Democrats time. I think this district actually went to Donald Trump in 2016. According to polling, this district is going up by more than 10 points for Joe Biden. So this is likely for Joe Biden. It swung the other way pretty heavily. So I just want to cover that real quick. And also Alaska, we missed that one too. That's another likely Republican state. I say that's usually safe for Republicans, but this time is only likely. Again, not a great sign for Republicans. We missed that. We forgot about covering those two. I apologize for that. But yeah, those are predictions for those two states.
Yeah. And there's one thing I wanted to talk about, because like kind of save it for last. Pennsylvania is technically lean blue, but like...
it's a swing state.
Yeah, it is a swing state. The problem with it is, right, Biden is up by 4.8 points overall. But the fact that the pandemic has caused many people to send in like mail-in ballots and stuff, that like the ballots, they could get rejected, because that's been a big issue in Pennsylvania, and the subject of like many court battles over whether said ballots should be counted, like the naked ballots and stuff. It's very much possible that this state could go red by like the smallest of margins, just because of many ballots being rejected and just general voter disenfranchisement. That is unlikely with the fact that, you know, Biden has such a large lead, but it's just something worth noting. Like, what are your thoughts on the restriction?
I mean, yeah, like, there's a state that I think is technically a lean state, but I think really is a swing state. It's a state that I feel like as the days go on, or I guess technically Biden did have an 8-point lead in July, but like I feel like this is a state that as the days goes on, as Joe Biden maintains a pretty consistent lead in Pennsylvania, the state that's gonna go for Joe Biden. It's a state that barely went for Donald Trump, and honestly, it's not a state where there's like a super loyal, like, there's, I guess, fan base of Trump. It was more of like a Democrats have been working out for me for the last 8 years, rather than I really do love Donald Trump kind of vote for a lot of people. So yeah, so those are my thoughts on it. And I just wanted to like, so yeah, now that we're done predicting all the states, I personally have 335 votes for Joe Biden, 203 votes for Donald Trump, and Joe Biden as the winner of this election. What about you, Kailash?
I have 351 electoral votes for Biden and 187 for Trump. And of course, Biden wins the election under scenario.
So there are two things I want to talk about before we end it off. Number one, I want to talk about the chances of like each candidate winning. Obviously, we both predicted Biden, but what do we think the chance of a Donald Trump winning is? 538 has as like 10% chance Trump wins, 89% Biden wins, and I'd put it pretty similar to that. Because here's the thing, like this isn't 2016, and I'll get to why it's not 2016 in a minute. But there are just too many states up in the air that Donald Trump won 2016, and like the states that are now in favor for Joe Biden, specifically in the Rust Belt, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, they're just too much in favor for Biden, in my opinion, for Trump to really make up. I think it's gonna take a miracle for him to win. Again, there's a chance, 1 in 10 chance, for him to win, in my opinion, and also opinion of many other people. But yeah, I don't really see a path for victory for Trump. What about you?
Yeah, same. You know, Trump was running against a historically unpopular opponent, right? And everything that Hillary
Clinton...
In 2016. And Hillary Clinton was just like, oh, he's, you know, against LGBT people, you know, he's xenophobic. But none of that worked, because there was 8 years of Democrat rule, and the people were kind of like fed up with not, like, what they felt was them like not being paid attention to. So they just voted for Trump because they believed he might have a chance to change things. That's not the case anymore. Trump has been president for 4 years. And running this
that game, newness factor almost has worn off.
Yeah.
He's a politician now.
Yeah. And he's been trying to run as if he was, you know, an outsider, but that's obviously
but
not going to work.
Can't anymore.
Because now he has a record a that people can judge him on.
Yeah. And also, one more thing. I know people are going to look at this and be like, and I know people are going to like look at this episode and be like screaming at the top of their lungs, but 2016.
Yeah.
And look, here's what I got to say about that. Obviously, go out and vote. Like, no matter what the polls say, go out and vote. Because at the end of the day, you have to go out and vote. But the thing about the polls is that minus Wisconsin in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Florida states that Hillary was up in. Actually, Florida, Trump actually was slightly up in, I think, a day before the election, and he won that state. But in the states of Michigan, Pennsylvania, it was within the margin of error. It was within the margin of error. It wasn't this catastrophic collapse of the polls like people want to make it out to be. Like, it was within the margin of error. Wisconsin was the only state where, like, it was not within the margin of error where Donald Trump won. And that was just because, simply, they didn't do too many polls in Wisconsin. That was their fault in 2016 for not doing too many polls there. But, yeah, that was the only state where the polls got fundamentally wrong. Every other state that you know, flipped, like, from the technical prediction was within the margin of error. And even if you don't – and also you have to realize, too, that since 2016 – they've adjusted their polling methodology too. One of the main things that they didn't take into account was the uneducated vote, the power of that. They've taken that into account now. But even if you want to still think that, like, oh, the polls, that they're not valuable or anything, whatever, let's taking a look at the margins. Trump won. So, like, Trump won by 2016. He won Michigan by, I think, like 0.2%, and like Pennsylvania by like 0.5%. Something really ridiculously close.
Yeah,
to that.
Well under 1 point.
Yep. If we, let's just assume the same swing happens. Like, I think so for example, I mean, like, I think Michigan was up by a couple points for Hillary. Same thing with Pennsylvania. Yeah. Assuming the same swing happens, like, Joe Biden still comfortably wins those states. Assuming the same swing happens for Florida, Biden still wins that state. Same thing for North Carolina, Arizona, and even for Wisconsin. Assume the same swing happens for Wisconsin, Biden still wins the state.
I just want to quickly mention one thing. Like, for example, you talked about Michigan, right? This day in 2016, Clinton had 45%, Trump had 40%, and Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party had 7%. I think the third party vote was what was critical back then. Like, they were either undecided or third party, but then they just
decided, it is not as popular anymore.
Yeah, they just decided to vote for Trump, but now they've seen, like, what Trump has done for this country, and they don't like it, right? There's way less undecided this time. Everyone's chosen
now
either Biden or Trump.
Yeah, whatever the reason for, like, third parties becoming a lot less popular in 2020. That's one reason Kailash gave, but regardless, like, again, we saw Gary Johnson, I think, nationally getting about 5% of the vote. Like, now, Joe Jorgensen's not as popular, obviously, Green Party, I think. Howie Hawkins is even less popular than Jill Stein was, so, yeah, third parties, you're not going to see the same thing, happen with third parties this year, where, like, third parties are, like, taking some of the vote. And by the way, when I say taking the vote, I don't mean, like, I don't want to say they're stealing votes or anything, because I feel like that's just kind of like voter shaming. I wouldn't say taking the vote. I'm just like saying, like, oh, if like this third party vote and vote for this person, they probably vote for like Clinton or Trump. That's what I mean by taking votes. But yeah, that's not going to happen this time. They're both, I think, polling under 2%. So yeah, that's also not going to happen this time too.
There's just one final thing I'd like to say. Rishi, do you want to go first?
No, you can go. I have nothing else to say now.
So 530 has a little tool where it's you can explore the ways Trump or Biden can win the election. So if you go in there and you just highlight Florida, you just swap it blue, which, I mean, polling is showing that it's probably going to go blue, like, by a small margin. Biden immediately has an 80% chance of winning in North Carolina, which he's also ahead of in terms of polling. He has a 77% chance of winning Georgia and a 51% chance of winning Texas, as well as a 63% chance of winning Ohio. If you just
51% chance of Texas?
Yeah. I mean,
wow.
It's very small, but if you also make him win North Carolina, right, which is like also where he's ahead in polling, his chances jump up to nearly 60% of winning Texas, which is that's amazing, right? I just want to say, if there's any two states that you should feel like you feel that are most important, you should probably watch Florida and North Carolina, because they're going to be like the biggest indicators of how this election is going to go.
Yeah. And also one more thing too. Texas goes blue, election's over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
although
think that's
that won't take
thing.
A lot longer to count. Florida's like very quick counting, so we'll have a result like very comparatively very early.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long night, probably. I mean, yeah.
Before we leave off, there's a really quick word from our sponsors.
But if that's about it, Carlos, you have anything else to say?
Nope.
If that's about it, I think that's where we're going to end it off here. Again, we're going to be doing an Instagram live stream on Election Day at 7 p.m. Eastern. Join if you want to join if you are interested in that. And yeah, that's about it.
Hit that outro!